Open your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 5. I'd like to read this portion, then we will pray. Verse 5, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. That man..." I'm sorry. I will try not to speak any Spanish here. "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And all the word was and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time, and the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." We will pray. Lord, thank you for your truth that you have given to us in your word. Lord, I ask for your direction and your help with English tonight, and speaking clearly and understandably. Lord, we look to you for your direction and ask you, Lord, to work in hearts and minds of those that are here to make us understand the truth of your word. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen. I often ask the title of the message. It would be Proclaiming the Gospel. There, I don't mean to start with something possibly quite so simple, but it's always a good place. And I'll simply ask this question: is there a biblical case for publicly, privately, but in any case, proclaiming the gospel? Of course, I don't think there would be any doubt about the answer to that, but I would like to look into a few things this evening concerning that. And the scripture that we started with in John chapter 1 spoke of John the Baptist and how he had come and how he gave witness to that light. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judah and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Verse 5, moving quickly, it says, "Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoe I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." The gospel, as presented by John here, or John the Baptist here in Matthew and in the other gospels, was a gospel that was proclaimed publicly without compromise, without fear. I suppose some might say, well, that's probably why John didn't last very long. Well, maybe that's true in a human sense. But John, And this is simply one example. You could look in the scripture to many other places, especially in the book of Acts. I think the testimony of the book of Acts would be very obvious to the public proclamation of the gospel. The ordinance that we have in the New Testament, as Brother John has just read in Matthew, I will not read there again, but in Mark 16:11 it says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The Word of God is clear, and the command to us, the ordinance to us given to the church in the New Testament is clear. There is a need, and I would say this to the church in Colima, I would say it to you. There is a need to publicly proclaim the gospel. I am terribly ignorant of what goes on in this country anymore, but coming here and hearing commentary by other preachers and other pastors of churches, it's always discouraging. It's just not what I would hope. It is, I guess, I'm not trying to get into the mentality of missionary in the foreign field and that type of a thing, but it's a matter of, I do come from this country and I do feel that there is a greater Christian, or I hope there is a greater Christian a base in this country, and the gospel is preached more faithfully here than it would be in Mexico. Many times to return here and to hear that it's not as discouraging. But there is a need, and in the church in Colima and the effort in to proclaim the gospel there, we look for the opportunity to proclaim the gospel outside of the church building. We look to proclaim the gospel somewhere else. Not that it is not proclaimed and clearly preached in the church building, but it is looked to be preached outside. And a couple of men in the church that have been called to preach the gospel on Friday evenings after a prayer meeting we have, we go out on the city buses and preach the gospel to whoever is on the bus. There is a need to preach the gospel outside of the walls of the church. And the history in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, I suppose there was no church building to preach in. And so it is easy for us to see that picture there. But there is now, because there are established places to preach the gospel, it's more difficult for us to imagine that. In Mexico, there is not that. There is only where you start and where you begin to preach the gospel. Is there a gospel message preached in a town or anywhere else? Let me deviate just for a moment in that sense. There is a private duty, of course, of parents to their children. In Ephesians 4:6, it says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." It is difficult for me to imagine Christians living in the same house for the love of the wife, of the husband, of the children, to neglect to proclaim the gospel within the home. It's difficult for me to imagine, but there is a willful ignorance or rebellion against that in many homes, which we in Mexico fight against that, I'm translating from Spanish here. Wasn't really the best way to say that. It's a difficult thing, and possibly this year an encouraging point in the church in Colima is that there have been a number of people that have begun to do that. And the good thing about that and the encouraging part for us is we don't always hear about it because the parents tell us what they're doing, but we hear it because of the children that tell us, my dad's reading the Bible to us now. We're praying every night. And that is an encouragement to us. But even still, there is a small percentage of those that are doing that. It's a discouraging in that respect. But there is that private duty that we have. How could the prayers or the conversation be far from the gospel and the presenting of the gospel in a home where there is doubt about the condition of the soul of anyone in that family? It's just difficult to perceive the idea that we can live and go through years of living under the same roof and never be concerned over the soul of the children, of the husband, or the wife. There is a duty for the Christian in a private sense to proclaim that gospel. There is a personal duty that likewise cannot be ignored or minimized in its importance. I say personal. I don't know if that's a proper term. I would try to explain the idea. Personal, not because it's a church assembly or a public declaration of the gospel in a church atmosphere or a congregation that has come together, or in the sense of as I mentioned, preaching in a public sense in a neighborhood or in a bus or something like that. But more of a presentation of the gospel in a directed sense to a few. And I would call your attention to Paul in the book of Acts in a number of cases, as in the book of, or as in chapter 16, when he is in jail and there is the earthquake, and the jailer comes in and there is a presentation of the gospel to that jailer, not in a public sense and that he's preaching to a group, but in a personal sense directly to that man and then again to his family. Also in the book of Acts in chapter number 24, when Paul presents the gospel to Felix and Drusilla. Is that correct? Okay. And in Acts chapter 24 and verse 24, and how he is called in and even asked, it says, and after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way, for this time when I have convenient season I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should be given him of Paul that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. There was a desire, as we can understand, Felix was never converted. But there was that responsibility that Paul felt in presenting the gospel, even in a private audience, as with Felix, but called in there, and he presented without being a prisoner. He presented without fear. But what he preached, as it says here, reasons of righteousness, temperance, and judgment come. There was no tranquility. There was no, I'm sorry, I just, it's not really coming real well. There was not any fear in Paul to present that gospel, even knowing that this is, it mentions that Drusilla was a Jewess, but Felix, being more ignorant, if you will, of the truth of the gospel, there was still that need and that obedience on Paul's part to present the gospel in that private sense. Also in Acts chapter 27, when Paul is before Agrippa, and in verse 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, then unto the Gentiles, and that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For this cause the Jews caught me in the temple, and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none of the things and those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first, and should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner, O King Agrippa. Believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. He had a knowledge. He knew that what they had said. He was not ignorant of portions of the Scripture. And he said, Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether as I am, except these bonds. Again, there was no fear in Paul to present the gospel in his own defense, but for the benefit of the lost, be they kings or be they poor, be they men with power that could either free him or condemn him, or be they men that had no power over him at all, except possibly to pick up stones and stone him, as of course that happened also. But there is that private sense also, or that personal obligation that we have in presenting the gospel. Now, there are, I suppose, I would say this because of arguments that are presented, and I suppose there are thousands of arguments as I come to understand more things against the truth in the Word of God, of which I am thankfully ignorant of many of them, but there are arguments that people, I suppose, would say that the gospel should not be presented in a public way, in a way that is out there to people that possibly, or we would maybe judge, that don't really want to hear. There are many false and foolish ways of supposedly presenting the gospel that only lull the sinner into a false feeling of security and leave him lost in his sin. There are many, many things that are done in the name of evangelism, if that's a proper term, that are used to, truthfully, only to bring people into a church building and make them part of a religious club, I suppose, instead of being brought into Christ and being born again of the Spirit of God. But because there is an odd effect of those things that I have seen maybe in other doctrines of the Bible, but when there is an abuse of a doctrine and a strong abuse or an open abuse of a doctrine, oftentimes the true believer has difficulty accepting or even talking of such things, and to the extreme of saying there is much abuse in the proclamation of the gospel. There is much abuse in presenting a false gospel, a gospel that it truly is not. There is no life. There is no justification, redemption, reconciliation to God. And therefore, there is a complete rejection of the idea of proclaiming the gospel. And in the end, you're simply in the same boat, only sitting in the other end of it. Because in the end, the gospel, the true gospel, is never proclaimed. Because there is that fear of error. There is that fear of being, I suppose, called one of them. In Mexico, the Christian church, and that is a very broad and loose term, is called, you're called an evangelical, is what the term would be. And that includes basically anyone that is of a Christian flavor, I'll say it that way, but not Catholic. Of course, therefore you are grouped together with even a Jehovah's Witness or Mormon, a Pentecostal or apostolic. You're all grouped together in one. And so to do anything in relation to, because all these things are grouped together, you're oftentimes, if you talk to someone, if there's a particular group that does a particular thing, as far as even not proclaiming the truth, but in like the Jehovah's Witnesses are out often all the time passing out things. So if you go out and pass out something, you're very often the literature or the simple fact of giving something is rejected because they say, well, that's what you are. So, but there is not a good biblical sense to say we should not do that just because someone else is doing it falsely or giving out false information. So there are many things that end up, I suppose, and that's the only way I can look at it, that they're not obeying the command that God has given us to proclaim the gospel. And the gospel is not proclaimed as it should be. Some would say it is as though, I suppose, casting your pearls before swine. But really, that would be, it more is speaking of reproving a fool in his folly. As it would say in Proverbs 23:9, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. And I think it would be a contradiction to say that we should not preach the gospel because it is casting our pearls before swine. It should not be. What can we judge others simply by their works? Would it be a strange thing that we find a sinner that is full of the fruit of sin in the flesh? Would it be strange that, as it says in Galatians 5:19, now these are the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Is that correct? Revelings. And such the like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you also in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you think it a strange thing that a sinner would manifest these things in his life? Are these things, would that encourage you to present the gospel to them? Well, I hope it would, in that sense, because it should not discourage you, because that's simply what a sinner is. And as it says in 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Or in Ephesians 2:1, where it says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversion in times past. That was all of us. That is where we have all come from. We have all been redeemed from our sin, if we name the name of Christ truly, and have been brought into Him. So, the gospel in this sense, the gospel in a public or in a private or in a personal manner, is to be proclaimed. And I would call your attention to Mark chapter 10, where Christ is speaking to this man that comes to him. Mark chapter 17, it says, "And when he came, when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" Good question. "And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.'" And it says in this gospel, it says in the Gospel of Mark in verse 21, it says, "And Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest: go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith to his disciples, 'How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?'" Now, the reason I have read this, I will call your attention to the fact that, of course, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God in the flesh. This is God who knew who he was talking to. God was not, Jesus Christ was not confused as I would be. He would not be fooled by a question that possibly I would. But there is a presentation of the truth to this sinner that in the end rejects Christ. There is no record that I can find that this man that speaks to him ever repented and ever was converted to Christ. But there was a presentation by the Lord Jesus Christ of the true gospel, obviously, to this man. So, in conclusion, there must be that the Bible, the Word of God, calls us, as we read in Matthew and then in Mark, that it is given to us to proclaim the gospel to all creatures. It is given to us to do so. For us to proclaim the gospel, it is our duty, because it is the only voice that will be heard in this wilderness of sin that will glorify God and a word for the good of sinners. The world will not proclaim that. No one else will proclaim it. The church, the modern church today, apparently does not proclaim that. The modern church today has another message. So it is for us. It is for those that truly know the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel and the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are given by God, and it is our duty as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the redeemed of the Lord, those that have been brought into Christ, to proclaim that love and the gospel. There is a salvation for sinners, but not simply just some little thing said out there, some little nice little saying, some nice little prayer to be said, but repentance and faith in a holy and true God. And that message, unfortunately, is rarely proclaimed in this world. It is our duty to do so. I don't think I can say that too many times, but I cannot, as I see my own duty before God and before men, to present that gospel. And there is no rest in that work. There is I made mention of the fact that there is much work. Anytime a lost sinner comes into contact with a Christian, there is work to be done. There is a message to be preached, and there is much prayer to be said. And there is a hope, and a living hope, because of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there will be mercy and salvation for that sinner. The Bible is very clear about the need to proclaim the Word of God. Let us pray. Lord, I thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the truth, Lord, that is seen. I thank You, Lord, for a church here and others that are represented here that truly preach Your Gospel. Lord, it is our duty until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again to proclaim the truth of the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, in doing so. I pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.